a bucket with a fishing pole. I'm dropping a line through an icy hole. I know you're down there, I know you're down there, I know you're down there.
Swimming underneath. Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we also have with us today, of course, the Grizz from Adventures South of the Border. And he's down on the pause, and Betty is in Florida someplace. So, Betty, let's jump into it. First of all, let us find out about what Ladies Let's Go Fishing is, or what it is you do. Okay. Do we have her on the line? Punch her in. Okay. Well, she's coming on with us right now. Betty, are you there?
I sure am.
Okay. Sorry about that. We started without you. Anyway, give us a quick idea about Ladies Let's Go Fishing.
Ladies Let's Go Fishing is a chance for ladies who would like to learn how to fish, to learn to fish in a non-intimidating, no-yelling environment, and have a chance to learn the technology, terminology too, practice fishing skills with instructors, network with the other ladies at parties, and have a chance to go fishing out on the water on charter boats.
Well,
that's because... You can't yell, Betty?
It's okay to scream when you got a fish on, but what happens on the boat a lot of times is you get an experienced person telling an inexperienced person something that's relatively simple to do, and the inexperienced person has no clue what they're saying. Sometimes then the first person talks a little louder because they can't hear. And then the inexperienced person throws up their hands and say, I can't do this. You know, you go fishing by yourself next time.
Well, I don't do that. I'm a nice guy.
Well, Grizz,
there's a lot of nice people out there. And then there's a lot of other nice people that get kind of goony when they, in the heat of the moment, there's not time to explain how to do things.
Yeah.
There's a fish on, and you got to react like immediately. And that doesn't happen when you get somebody that is told to do something that they don't know what it is.
Okay, well, the other thing that I think you may have alluded to is if you've got a man on the boat, of course, a man is the expert in fishing, but if you've got him trying to teach a lady friend or wife or daughter or whatever it is, you can imagine it to not be one of the easiest experiences for a woman, and this takes all of that away.
Right. Well, what happens, too, is... people get so busy when they're on the boat doing everything for everybody, and, the fish are on and everything, and they're like, well, it's a lot faster for them to do it themselves than to sit down and show somebody how to do it. So that's why we have the classes, so the ladies can practice these things, before they get on the playing field and they're in the hot seat.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's something that kind of goes along with that, and I'm certainly not an expert, and I'm obviously not in the same class as the Grizz, but I teach him a few things once in a while. But
we're talking about fishing, John.
Yeah,
don't go there.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, but my point is on a charter boat trip or when you're in a ponga and the captain spots a marlin and he wants to throw a bait at it. Well, to me, anybody that hooks a fish, it's their fish. I don't want it. Now, I'd rather try and bait it and lose it and do that a couple times than pull in somebody else's fish.
Well, that's why we put the ladies out in the water, so they have a chance to touch the bait. Some of those baits, they jump, slip out of your hands. There's a certain way to hold it, that's if they want to. They don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
But we do that, and we also teach conservation. So when they're learning, they realize how important it is and how their actions can affect the future of fishing.
Right. Well, give us, also, you live in Florida, give us a little bit of an idea about what's happening down there this time of the year.
We just had an event in Stewart in the Treasure Coast, and it wasn't red-hot fishing. Sometimes it is, and Fort Lauderdale was pretty good. That one was in April. The ladies were catching blackfin tuna, bonita, offshore. The dolphin weren't much around. But on other days there have been, dolphin and sails. Sails are still around. And on the party boat, they had all their, that's the drift boat, they had all their lines on the bottom, and about a 3-foot cobia swam by. And the party boat, I guess, wasn't ready. They didn't have anything to pitch to it. But cobia is really good eating. Their backstraps make great sushi.
Mm-hmm.
So the cobia around, that's in the Treasure Coast area. And also inshore, they were catching some nice-sized snook. And a girl that works there went fishing for trout on Monday, sea trout. And we're catching some nice, you know, 15 inches. That's pretty big for sea trout.
Mm-hmm. And they're a lot of fun. Now, the water is similar to what we have in Baja, in the Caribbean, or in, not in the Caribbean, but in the Pacific. But some of the fish are different. Now, we're grizz fishes all the time. There's a lot of different varieties. But there's a few things. So, of course, you've got Dorado, but you don't call them Dorado there. And I don't know how in the world anybody came up with the idea of a dolphin fish, but, you know, in Hawaii, they're mahi-mahi. But some of the other, I guess you have, is it white marlin, I think, that you guys have that we don't have?
Yeah, we've got white marlin and black marlin and hatchet marlin. I run a tournament in the Bahamas in Treasure Key. It's June 2 through the 7th mm-hmm. in Abaco, and that's a blue marlin tournament. And they usually catch... You know, some sails, mostly blue marlin, some whites, slammer dolphin, and I've seen 96-pound wahoo come in.
Whoa!
Yeah, it's like Jurassic Park over there.
Yeah, right.
I'm the waymaster, so I get to see all the fish first.
There you go. Well, let's get back to Ladies Let's Go Fishing. About how many members do you have, and where do they come from?
Well, nobody has to be a member to join. We call them participants. We had 82 in Matt Lachey and about 40 each in Stewart and Fort Lauderdale. We've got the Keys coming up November 15th to the 17th in Tavernier, Isla Mirada area. That's like the middle Keys, and we'll probably get maybe 50 or 60. So it's, well, I don't know the math in my head quick, but it was a few hundred ladies a year ago through it. And the total, if you add them all up in the past, 7,000.
Whoa, that's a lot of ladies out fishing.
Is it ladies teaching ladies or men teaching ladies? How does that work?
Anybody who's good teaching ladies. We don't have enough lady instructors, but we have a lot of guides that come off the water, and they usually get charters from it. It's mostly guys, but they're patient guys, and they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, I love teaching ladies.
Yeah. Well, we're talking
I'm serious, yeah, John. I'm not playing.
I know.
Now.
We're talking about fishing, though, Grizz.
I am talking about fishing.
Okay.
To me, my daughter caught her first marlin about 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I just love teaching ladies how to fish because it seems like they enjoy it even more than some men.
Well, you know.
They're into it. You should see them rig those ballyhoo, and they got to squeeze them. And, mm-hmm. you know, they're standing in line to do it.
Well, and if you're lucky enough, what we talked about is having a daughter. It's not a matter of father and son going fishing. If you're lucky enough to get a daughter interested in fishing, that's incredible because it's something she'll take with her the rest of her life. And, you know, years down the road, she might even spend some time with you.
Yeah, we get some younger ones. We get them in their teens. And we have good instructors. Last one, we had Mark Nichols. He's the guy that started DOA Lures. And he's a busy man. But he took the day and showed the ladies all about the inshore lures. We had somebody on offshore lures, and then we gaffed grapefruits.
Gaffed? Oh, you mean for practice?
Yeah, and they backed trailers, they drove the boat. You know, they get the whole experience hands-on.
Okay. And the process that you go through, you have tournaments, but, you know, do you have activities going on all the time, or if people just want to do something, and is it take place in different parts of the country?
Yeah, well, we do them mostly in Florida. They're not tournaments. They're schools. They are to learn. There's no competition. It's competition between the ladies and the fish. We do them four times a year because they take about 3 months each to plan. So we do West Coast, Treasure Coast, South Florida, and Keys, you know. But sometimes we move. And we have had them in other states, and we're working on maybe some trips to, like, Costa Rica and Bahamas.
No, Cabo, and I'll help you out.
Okay.
Yeah,
come to Cabo.
We'll do that.
Down here in Mexico, and I'll help you out with that.
There you go.
Or La Paz or a place like that.
Okay.
I think the ladies would love to tackle Cabo.
Okay. Well, let's see if we can arrange that. And speaking of that, let's give some quick information. We know how to get in touch with the Grizz, and we'll talk about that later. But Ladies Let's Go Fishing, how do we find Betty?
It's ladiesletsgofishing.com. with three W's in the front for the website, or at facebook.com/ladiesletsgofishing. Both places have pictures in the gallery section of, you know, the recent events and past events.
Okay.
Phone is 954-475-9068.
Okay. Well, Betty, we don't want too many phone numbers, but Ladies Let's Go Fishing, you can find that on the Internet. Thank you. We're going to have to sign off for now. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. Thank you, Grizz. Lake Kachuma is a California treasure. Bald eagles, deer, egrets, foxes, wild turkeys play on the banks and in the trees. Red ear, bluegill, bass, and catfish inhabit the waters. Rainbow trout are planted on a regular basis and easily caught from boat or shore. Lake Kachuma Boat Rentals is a key to a successful day on the lake. Call 805-688-4040 for information. Tackle, skiff, or pontoon boat rental. Call Craig at 688-4040, 20 minutes north of Santa Barbara, Kachuma Boat Rentals, for a day to remember.
Strike baits catch more fish. Formulated from years of research and development, our dough baits trigger the instincts of fish to strike. Packaged to eliminate air that dries the bait out, the tube means you never have to put your finger in the bait. One squeeze loads your hook with state-of-the-art attractants for even the most elusive trout. Engineered and made in the USA, visit strikebaits.com. Strike baits, the next generation of trout baits.
Bad day of fishing is better than a good day at work. A bad day of fishing just better than a good day at work.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio. And we also have a special guest, John Kurska, who's going to be doing the show next week, came in for a refresher course. So if you hear some smart remarks, it doesn't necessarily mean it's from the Grizz. And we do have the Grizz down in La Paz right now, but we're going to go to Doug at Cisco's Landing, which is Channel Island Sport Fishing. And coincidentally, Doug fishes the Santa Barbara Channel Islands. Doug, would you mind give us a little bit of information about the Channel Islands fishing? Of course, we want to talk about Cisco's, but it's a very unique geographical area with a confluence of currents and such, but why don't you tell us about it?
Hi, John. How you doing today?
Great.
Yeah, it's a very unique area up here, really. Lots of things for the people to do. Islands are pretty rugged, very little, so far as any kind of establishment on them. It's mostly all National Park Service.
Right, pristine.
Mm-hmm. Very pristine, very, very clean waters around them. It's really a real scenic place to go and a lot of things to do around the islands.
Well, to get on one of your boats to go out fishing, you get very close to the islands, and sometimes it's worth just a boat trip if you've never been out there, let alone the great fishing grounds that you have.
Yeah, most of the time we're fishing pretty close to the island. Sometimes we'll be a little bit off from when we're doing some of the deeper water rock fishing and rock cut fishing, but season coming up here now is mostly the shallow water where we're looking for more of the game fish, the white sea bass and halibut and barracuda and calico bass. We tend to be a little closer into the islands, and they're really just actually it's a big bonus, just the sightseeing along with the fishing up here.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about the variety, because you know this year hasn't been a huge season, but we actually catch king salmon all the way down in this area, and it's been a while, but I've actually seen a Dorado jump out of the water. So kind of depending on the year and the currents, you can get almost anything out there.
Yeah, and there's been a few king salmon this year, first year in the last few. Our party boats, our boats haven't caught any this year. I don't know why. We've been up in the area a few days, but private boaters actually were getting them fairly steady up until about a week ago. So.
Right.
Maybe things will settle down and they'll get them again when the bait balls move back in. But they've been nice little fish, 15, 18-pound fish. And
wow.
As I said, private boaters, you know, I know a few guys have got their limits a couple of days up there. So
right. Well, of course, when salmon, you know, the more effective way is a slow troll, which I think, and it's kind of hard to do that on some of the bigger party boats. You have to mooch for them, so you have to have more of them around. But give us an idea about the different boats and different areas that you fish those boats.
Well, we fish pretty much all the northern Channel Islands. Sometimes we'll fish Santa Barbara Island. The ones we fish the most are Anacapa, Santa Cruz, Santa Rosa, San Miguel, and San Nicolas Island. Our day boats fish mostly Anacapa and Santa Cruz, but then we have longer range boats that'll go out the night before and fish all day the next day, and they'll fish the outer islands, San Miguel, Santa Rosa.
Well,
and
you're very fortunate. The Santa Barbara Channel Islands are very unique, and you know the mountain range on shore runs east and west for 50 contiguous miles, which I believe is the only place in North America that happens. And the Channel Islands kind of follow that same pattern, so they actually run east and west, and you won't find that anywhere else in the Pacific that I know of.
No, and it gives you a lot of areas. Sometimes we get a little breezy, windy weather getting across, but once you get across at the islands, usually there's an awful lot of protection just because it is a long chain.
Mm-hmm.
So we have even the private boater, see more private boaters every year, I think, that come up and fish our area for that reason, just because the islands are so nice. And
right.
Once you get across, you know, there's about any island you go to or weather condition, there's nice anchorages out there.
Yeah, you can always find a safe harbor. Well, I'm trying to get Grizz to come up and fish, but, you know, he doesn't seem to be too interested in, you know, fish that weigh less than 50 pounds. But I think that he'd enjoy it, and there's a lot of variety. And, of course, you know, halibut can get some good runs. And then I guess now we've got some barracuda running.
Yeah, there was some barracuda and few sea bass on the coast already this year. The sea bass on the coast have been just absolutely beautiful fish, 30 to 60 pound type fish. So,
mm-hmm.
And some nice big ones. And we're hoping to maybe break the California record for the halibut again, the way it's starting out this year. I know the Island Spirit already has two fish that he caught on board that were in excess of 50 pounds this year, which is a nice California halibut. So, A lot of big fish showing up the last couple of years.
And Grizz, white sea bass, I don't think you've ever had the opportunity for those, but those are not only a lot of fun, they're very difficult to catch. You've got to be very stealthy, or you got to be on one of Doug's boats at gray light with some fresh dead squid.
Yeah, well, you know, I have caught some sea bass, and I love catching them, but I'll have to come up there and fish.
There you go.
Maybe we make a television show or do something up there.
There you go.
You're talking me into it, guys.
Well, I'm trying. It's only been a couple of years, but white sea bass or something. There's probably 100 different sea bass, but white sea bass, they're probably one of the great game fish. They taste, you know, incredible. Just this great, sweet, soft white meat. And they can be a lot of fun to catch, but they're not that easy because they kind of hide in the kelp and sneak out and grab something. So, you know, the kayakers and divers usually have more success with them. But, you know, Doug can take you out and put them on you. And, Doug, before we let you go, let's talk a little bit about Cisco's. You've got, I was trying to think how many open party boats plus all of the six-pack boats.
Yeah, we have like 13 boats all together, so we pretty much can offer people whatever they're looking for. We have boats that are small enough where, you know, if just three, four, five people, six people want to charter a boat for the day, we have one that, you know, pretty much will meet their price range more mm-hmm. than likely. And then we also have the larger boats that can carry, you know, their license for up to 80 people. So
yeah. Well, obviously, we don't fish 80 people,
just license for it. That'd be cruel and unusual punishment to put that on it.
There you go. But it's so easy to jump on the boat, and you know, it's the Anacapa's only 12 miles?
Yeah, 11 miles from our harbor entrance.
Right.
And also, what we have going to Anacapa now too is we have a boat that runs a safari tour every year now from 1st of May until the end of July.
Okay.
It's non-fishing, and they just go out and
there you go.
See all the great nature of the protected national parks.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to let you go, but it's all the more reason to come to Santa Barbara, Ventura Counties, and enjoy what we've got here. And is it Cisco's.com? Is that the best way to do it?
It is Cisco's.com. That's the easiest.
Yeah.
C-I-S-C-O-S.
CISCOS, Cisco's.com. Okay, Doug, great job. We're going to find you a career in radio.
All right, John. You have a good day.
All righty. Thank you. Okay, we're going to get a lake report. We have Mike from Lake Chabot on the line with us right now, I do believe. So if...
Hello?
Okay, yeah, well, he's there. He's there. We're just...
Hello?
That's not a problem. Mike, we got you on the line. Don't worry. We're just getting rid of the last one. We also, Grizz, you're still there, aren't you?
I got cut up again.
Okay, Mike, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, let's go ahead and jump into Lake Chabot. We kind of lost a little bit, and we're getting tight on time. So give us an idea, first of all, where it is, and why would anybody want to go there?
Okay, well, Lake Chabot Marina is located in pretty much almost in Northern California, in the Bay Area, located in the East Bay. We are in Castro Valley and San Leandro area. Very, very nice location, close to, you know, freeways, very accessible at all locations, pretty much. And we do have a lot of fish here. We stock trout once a week or catfish, depending on the time of the year. We do have quite a few different native species, like crappie, bluegill, bass. We actually even have a sturgeon in here. A guy caught a 45-pounder not too long ago, which is about 59 inches long.
Whoa.
So, pretty giant fish coming
right
out of Lake
now,
Chabot.
Is that, you know, they do have a slot limit. Is that a keeper?
It was a keeper. It was just an inch under the keeper range.
Right. Well, that's, you know, we need to protect those because they are virtually prehistoric, aren't they, John?
Yes.
And if you look at them, they certainly look prehistoric. But
John.
They're not that old. But
he does resemble a striper. I mean, one of those.
Yeah, but
he does.
He looks that way. He looks prehistoric.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, we have a good idea where you are and why to go there. Tell us about how to get in touch with you.
Okay. Well, we do have a website, which is norcalfishing.com, uh-huh. norcalfishing.com.
Okay.
Or you could give us a phone call. It's 510-247-2526. And then pretty much we also, the park itself actually offers quite a few different things. We'd offer tours. We do boat rentals. We basically have golfing, horse riding, a gun range, camping, lots of places to hike. We also do have races here as well if you're a racing type of person. So,
well, if anybody is still trying to figure out, you know, if they're going to jump in the Winnebago and take off for places unknown and you're thinking about coming to California, there's one more reason.
Mm-hmm. Lake Chabot is amazing.
You can also go to fishtalkradio.com, and on the front under Friends, I think you've got the website for NorCal fishing at Lake Chabot. So, and we appreciate.
Do they still
make
Winnebagoes?
We'll cover that in the next subject, Mike.
Okay.
All righty. Well, again, the other Mike. Mike, we're going to have to let you go now, and we appreciate all that information. And, you know, we're going to have to get up there and see it. Maybe we can even drag Grizz up there one of these days. But anyway, appreciate that. And you're listening to Fish Talk Radio. We're going to be back momentarily, and we're going to be talking to Costa Rica.
West Marine covers Southern California with convenient locations for all your boating and fishing needs. The new superstore on Shelter Island in San Diego, nearly a block in length, has West Marine's largest saltwater fishing selection on the West Coast. This is the world's largest marine store, located one block from Shelter Island Drive at 1250 Rosecrans. Not only stocked to the gills, the staff has selected fishing experts in what to buy, plus how and where to use it. For boating, fishing, and water sports, this is the ultimate. West Marine.
Set on the magnificent Sea of Cortez, the Grand Heritage Resort and Spa at Marina Costa Baja is the first five-star resort in La Paz, Baja South. Overlooking a 250-slip marina and white sand beaches, enjoy two signature restaurants, a world-class destination for fishing or diving. Enjoy five-star elegance in the charming laid-back city of La Paz. Dock your boat and enjoy the Marina Village. Visit on the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
Goldfish, muskie, rainbow, brook trout, brown trout, steelhead, catfish, dogfish, wolffish, bullhead, halibut, hig, permit, cobia.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. We have Mark. You know, it's Mark, what is the current name of your company now? I've got it under Americana. I know that you've got...
It still is Americana Sport Fishing here in San Jose, Costa Rica.
Americana Sport Fishing. And that little lead-in music that they talk to you about the fish, you don't see too many of those. But I know, as I've been down there with you and fished down there numerous times, incredible fisheries. And what we normally do is you have to fly into, you don't have to, I guess, you fly into San Jose, which is where your office is, up at the top of the mountain. And then you can drop down one way to the Caribbean and the other way to the Pacific. Personally, I prefer the Pacific for different reasons, but some great fishing down there. So give us a quick idea about what the fishing is available and what's happening down there this time of the year.
Okay, we're just moving into what they call the green season, the rainy season, but this year less rain is expected. One of the advantages of the green season here is that hotel prices go down, as do international flights. So it's a good time to come. And the fishing is excellent, especially on the Pacific coast, as John said. There's excellent fishing off the Central Pacific coast, South Pacific, and the billfish season is just getting underway up in the North Pacific in the province that everybody knows as Guanacaste and areas such as Tamarindo and Flamingo.
Go ahead. Grizz, I'm sure that you've got a couple of questions for Mark about what's going on down there, and one of these days we'll get down there too.
Well, I'd like to know what's happening with the tarpon, or do you guys even fish for them?
Absolutely. There are a lot of tarpon on the Caribbean side, up in the area near the Nicaraguan border. It's one of the best-known areas anywhere for tarpon. And what we usually do is we bring them in, we fly people out on early morning charter or commercial flights from San Jose. There's some great tarpon fishermen out there. One is Eddie Brown out of Tortuguero in Barreville, Colorado. He's been fishing for tarpon for 40 years. He's the tarpon king. And he'll get you a tarpon.
Okay.
No doubt about it.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a good plan.
And so you probably got some snook in there, too.
Yep, there's snook. You can, a lot of people, beach casters snook, great snook. Tarpon season begins a little later. They're different kind of climate patterns. So if you're looking to come down here for tarpon, the real time to come is mid-August through mid-December, early January.
Okay.
And they have a great snook run December.
Right.
As well.
Okay. And Mark, we're going to let you go, but the website is Americana Sport Fishing.
Yep, www.americanasportfishing.com. We have a toll-free number. Give us a call, and we'll put something together for you.
Okay. Okay, that sounds good. And also, you can go to fishtalkradio.com and just plug into the website there.
That sounds like a fun trip, John.
Okay. Oh, it is a fun
trip.
Like a Mark, thank you very much from the report from Costa Rica.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure. Take care.
All righty.
Bye, buddy.
Okay. Well, Grizz, we're going to see if we can get Mark from Bass Angler Magazine on for a minute or two.
Where is Mark?
Well, he's not on the line.
He's
we'll
like that.
See if we can get him.
He's like that fish I had last week, Grizz. He wasn't on the line.
Oh. Anyway, Costa Rica, you know, I really enjoy it. I like the Pacific side for a couple of different reasons. First of all, I like the fishing. But right now, we've got Mark Lasagna from Bass Angler Magazine. Mark, we've only got about 2 minutes, so let's go ahead and jump right into it. Give us an idea what's happening this time of the year in bass angling.
Well, the fish are just starting to move off the beds, and, top water bite is usually the best way to catch them, throwing little poppers, buzz baits, spook-type baits, walking top water baits. So that's generally the best way to catch them this time of year.
I like throwing my little mouse with a fly rod.
Yeah, a little mouse works good. You know, frogs work good, too. So, you want to look for the coves and then look for the first points right outside the coves, the first deep water, adjacent to any kind of a flat area where it'd be shallow and protected. You want to get right away from those shallow, protected areas and, kind of move out a little bit towards the deeper water. A lot of times those bigger fish are just out there suspended, after the rigors of spawning. So.
And hungry, too.
And hungry, too. It's a great time of year to go out fishing. The weather's nice. The fishing is usually good first thing in the morning and also in the evening. And, during the midday, you usually have to go a little bit deeper. But, fishing still can be good all day long. So it's a great time of year to get out there and go fishing.
Any day is a great day to be out there with the family and the kids to go out there and fish, especially bass. My son is driving me crazy, wants to go bass fishing.
Oh, yeah. Well, any day out fishing is better than a day sitting in the office.
Or even in the house.
Yeah, exactly. So it's good. You know, it's good. It's good mentally, physically, and everything, all the way above, you know, just to get out there and go do it.
Yeah, Charlie, he's been wanting me to take him out bass fishing. I think we're going to go over to El Salto maybe in a couple weeks.
Oh, that ought to be fun.
Okay. Oh, I love fishing that place over there. The only problem right now is...
I don't think fishing is ever bad in Mexico, is it?
No, but it gets a little bit hard to do when it gets so hot and the bugs bite. You know, that's one of the bad problems about places like El Salto and stuff. Because it gets evening when the bite's on top water, and you can't even get close into the shores. You got to make those long casts because the mosquitoes will just eat you up.
Oh yeah, I know it. You know, so you know, maybe a net. You know, I've had to do that. Wear a little net over your head, and you know, a long sleeve shirt, and some you know gloves, and you know, it's worth maybe a couple bites to go out and have that much fun.
There you go. Well, John Kurska takes a net with him, but that's not what he uses it for.
We won't go there, John. You're wanting to talk dirty again.
No, I'm not doing that anymore.
Did you give it up?
No, I didn't give it up. I just got in trouble last time.
Well, that's how he, some people use buzz bait. John uses a net.
And John is really, you know, John Hennigan's really a tattletale.
Yeah, that's the truth. That's why I stopped coming on the show. I kept getting ratted out here, so I've taken about a 6-month hiatus and repaired my marriage, and now I'm back.
back for round two.
There you go. Mark, give us an idea overall, because Bass Angler magazine covers, I guess, not even just the United States, but, you know, it covers all over. Last week, we had a great segment on with El Salto, didn't we, Grizz?
Yeah, sure was.
About Bass Lake.
But, fly fishing.
But give us an idea about the bass angling, kind of a quick rundown throughout the country where it's at right now.
Well, you know, if you head up north, they're still spawning. You know, as you move south, they're done spawning. You know, Florida, they're into the full summer pattern. You know, which means they're out in the deeper water, out in the points. When they're spawning, they're back into coves, and you know, and then the ones in transition are in between those two areas. So you want to look for the coves, and then you know, head on out to the deep water, and you know, anywhere in between. And fish don't all do it at the same time, so you could several bodies of water. You can find them in all three stages still, even this time of year. So and then as we move into the summer. So,
yeah, as the water warms up, everything changes.
Well, it does. I mean, you know what? They have fins, and you know they're in the water, and they don't sit still. You know, they're always swimming, they're always moving. So, you know, whether you're in one place or you're moving, you're bound to run into them this time of year. So they're on the move, and they're feeding pretty hard. And
you know, you're being in the water, they got all those little fins flipping everywhere, the tail flipping, currents and everything. They're constantly on the move, so they got to constantly eat to support the energy they're spending.
Exactly. Exactly. And so you need to be there when they're
on the bottom with a pillow and lay down. I mean, they're constantly on the move.
Okay. Now,
exactly.
Mark, as the water warms up, two questions. Do the fish kind of slow down? And also, do they go deeper in the water column?
Well, there's two different things that the fish do. When the water heats up, there's a group of fish that go out deep and out on the ledges and, you know, deep points and 20, 30 feet deep. And then there's another group of fish that are up really, really shallow. So, you know, with the boat traffic and everything, a lot of times you have a lot of waves on the bank, and it will create more oxygen and a little bit of current, which the fish can survive up there even in the shallow water when it's real hot. Plus you have vegetation. And those fish will get up right up in the vegetation that produces oxygen, you know, all day long, and those fish will be up in that shallow vegetation. So there's kind of two different areas. You won't usually find them in the in-between, like the 5 to 10 foot range, but, you know, up in 1 to 5 foot, and then up, you know, 10 to 30 feet, you can find them in both of those areas.
Hmm. Well, you mentioned something that I thought was interesting. You mentioned boat traffic causing aeration of the water. I always thought boat traffic was bad.
Well, it, you know, sometime of the year it is, but, you know, in the summer, actually, it's good. I mean, I've had so many days when, you know, there's boat traffic out, and it's a little, you know, it's not so comfortable to fish, you know, if you're getting knocked back and forth, but, you know, the fish generally like it, and a lot of times they'll bite a lot better. There's sometimes where you don't even start catching them until, you know, all the water skiers and the wakeboarders come out, and then the fish start biting pretty good, so...
Okay.
Something to think about. You know, if you're out there, you know, soaking a worm in 30 foot of water and there's a lot of boat traffic, you know, you need to go up on the bank and give it a shot.
There you go.
Maybe something that you haven't done before.
Good information, Mark. Let's get some quick information. We've got to get out of here. Tell us about how to get Bass Angler Magazine.
Yeah, well, Bass Angler Magazine's full of tips and tricks, you know, to help you catch fish all year long. You can go to bassanglermag.com and check us out there and order it and get a copy, and, you know, I guarantee you're going to learn a lot.
Okay. Bassanglermag.com. Mark, we appreciate that overall report, and we'll be looking forward to talking to you again. Grizz, thank you very much for giving us all that great information. Yeah, you're listening to Fish Talk Radio, and it's been a lot of fun, and we might even have some more fun. So we're taking a break, and we'll be listening to Fish Talk Radio.